You know, this really started with Einstein. He said once, I think it was near the end of his life, he said, "What really interests me is whether God had any choices when he made the universe." And I think what Einstein meant was, do the laws of physics and math require that the universe be more or less exactly as it is? Or could it have been radically different? And I guess if he had found out that it could have been radically different, his next question would have been, why did God choose this one? And, you know, now 50 years later, science has learned so much more than we knew when Einstein was alive. And we now know that there are 20 knobs, if you will, 20 adjustable values that determine what a universe is going to be like. So you could think of each of these knobs as being like the temperature setting on your oven, or, you know, the cooking time and other stuff. And so if you wanted to bake a cake, you'd adjust the knobs to your favorite recipe and push the enter button or something, and out would pop a cake, right?
Are scientists, physicists still baffled at how this all happened?
Oh, if they think about it, they are, yeah. I think a lot of scientists never worry about this. They, you know, they just go around working on their experiment and so on, and they don't really look at the big picture. Because, you know, one of the things about our society is we all get focused on such a narrow specialty. We get to be very expert at almost nothing. And so that's particularly true in science, that, you know, each scientist is really very clever at a very small thing. And hopefully all of those things work together, but that's someone else's job.
Well, and, you know, if science tries to figure it out, I think it can't get the answers right now. They're not there.
We're still missing stuff, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you're right. When you look at all these factors, the odds are just astronomical.
Yeah. So, for instance, one of the knobs is the mass of the proton. Now, everything around us is made of atoms, and the most important part of an atom is the nucleus, and the most important part of that is the proton. So protons are, you know, essential to life, because without protons, no atoms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the mass of the proton was 0.25% more than it happens to be, then it would be unstable, and atoms wouldn't exist. It would immediately disintegrate, no atoms. And if it was 0.25% less, then stars wouldn't be able to produce energy. And if there's no stars producing energy, there wouldn't be any life on Earth. So that mass of the proton has to be very close to the value that it happens to be in our universe. But it could have been almost anything else. All the laws of physics and math would be perfectly happy if the mass of the proton was twice as much or half as much or 10 times as much. You know, we don't know why it's that value. But we do know that if it wasn't exactly that value, we wouldn't exist. That's one of the 20 knobs. There's 19 more.
You talk about four basic groups, four requirements of life. You want to go through them?
Yeah. We need to have a viable universe. We need a universe with the right sort of geometry. It has to be stable, and it has to produce stars. That's the first.
We got that.
We got that. But that's the 20 knobs. It could have been, the universe could have been entirely different, and it could have been completely unsurvivable.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing was, we need the atoms that everything around us that's material is made of. And particularly, we need the right type of atoms for life. And those are special. Those atoms took billions of years to be created in our own universe, and they are among the rarest things in the universe. And then the next thing you need, the third thing, is you need to have some sort of a viable habitat for life to arise in, something like the Earth. I mean, mm-hmm. It could be some other planet, it could be some other sort of place, but it has to be basically as good as the Earth for life to survive. I mean, we can't survive on probably 80% of the planet.
Well, you know, I think of that poor mountain climber who fell into Mount St. Helens.
Yeah.
You know, he was backing up for a picture, and, you know, the crest broke down, and down he went. Mm. And, had they been able to get to him earlier, he would have been okay. He would have survived.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't, and, you know, the elements got him. So, right. You know, you look at that and you say, on this planet, we can die if we're in just the wrong environment just on this planet. So
sure.
When you look at how these other planets have to be, they have to be very similar to planet Earth.
They have to be very, very special. Absolutely. I mean, we can't live in the ocean. You know, how long could you live in the ocean? An hour?
Right.
I mean, you can't live in the desert. You can't live on the North Pole or the South Pole. If you really think about it, you know, there's only a small fraction of this is the best place in the whole universe for life.
We had 5 degrees in St. Louis when I was back there in the winter. 5 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, if it were about 40 more degrees colder, we couldn't make it.
Yeah.
You know, we'd run out of natural gas. Who knows what would happen, yeah. But we couldn't make it. So we're pretty darn lucky. Now, for that to happen, I would think then, as you believe, other planets have to be pretty darn similar to what we've got here, right?
I think they have to be, yes. I think they have to be similar to Earth. They have to be remarkably special, just like Earth is remarkably special.
Temperature's pretty close, yeah. Water, everything.
Earth is not just the best of the 8 planets, you know, 8 now that Pluto's been demoted. It's not just the best of the 8. It's probably the best of a billion planets.
Yeah, I think you may be right. But it's not the only planet.
No, because there are billions and billions and billions of planets yep. out there. So, you know, there's some. But the idea that there's another one just around the corner, I don't think that's right. I think that you would have to look long and hard to find one that's as good as the Earth is.
I think you're right. So that was the 3. What about the 4th area?
Well, the 4th thing is actually the most demanding of all. And that is, you need a genetic code that defines what life is, something like our DNA.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that DNA is the most sophisticated, the most complex, the most beautifully organized thing in the entire universe. There is nothing as sophisticated and delicate in its design as DNA.
Is it like a symphony?
Oh, it's a the greatest work of art there is.
Yeah.
You know.
just happened by random, right?
Well, you know, I did the math. We can talk about the math.
Yeah.
No way is it random, yeah. So there are as many atoms in every copy of our DNA as there are stars in a galaxy. And, you know, we have like 10 trillion cells in our body, and every one of them's got a complete set of human DNA. And your DNA and my DNA and every other person's DNA is about 99.9% the same. But anyway, it's got 3.2 billion nucleotide base pairs that it's like this alphabet with 3.2 billion symbols in it. If you wrote it out like the Encyclopedia Britannica, you'd have 1,500 volumes that say, "What's George Norrie?"
Yeah.
It's incredible. And you know, the difference is if you take a galaxy and you take 10% of the stars on the left and you switch them with 10% of the stars on the right, who cares? I mean, the galaxy keeps spinning. But you start mucking around with where the atoms are in human DNA, and pretty soon you kill somebody. It really got to be just the way it is. I mean, it can't be much different. It's just incredible how sophisticated that design is.